Okay, today we're going to learn Me'ilah Daf Hey. We're going to start at the two dots about 10 lines from the bottom on Dalet Amud Bet. Okay, first, it's just a quote from the Mishnah. If you remember, the end of the Mishnah said, Klal Amar Rabbi Yoshua. He gave a general rule. Actually, I'm not sure it's the end of the Mishnah. I think it's kind of the middle. Right, it's from the middle to the end. Okay, it's he said, Kol Shahaita La Shat Heter LaKohanim En Mo'alim Ba. B'chol Shelo Haita La Shat Heter LaKohanim Mo'alim Ba. Remember what happens? This is the whole, we said Din of Me'ilah happens when? After you, what happens to Me'ilah in Kodshe Kodshim, Me'ilah kicks in right away as soon as you designate the animal. It's going to be forbidden to benefit from. And if you do, Chayav Me'ilah, until such time that it becomes allowed to the Kohanim. Meaning, basically until now we've explained that it means, right? When you do Zrika. Okay, when you do Zrika Tadam, that matirs the meat. That matirs the meat to the kohanim to eat. So if you do zrikat dam, it matirs the meat. That's what we call shat heter lekohanim. Okay, that's what we assumed it meant. Okay, so if it gets messed up before that stage and it never had it, well, let's do it. Let's say it gets messed up after that stage. It had a shat heter lekohanim. As soon as it was mutar to the kohanim, what happened to Me'ilah? No more laws of Me'ilah because it's no longer, remember it all came from the Pasuk, Kodshei Hashem. It's no longer Kodshei Hashem because it's now allowed to people. Even if it's only allowed just to Kohanim. But, so that's what he said. Kol Shehaita La Shat Heter LaKohanim Ein Mo'alim Ba. Already the din of Me'ilah is no longer there. V'chol Shelo Haita La Shat Heter LaKohanim. But if it didn't ever have a Shat Heter LaKohanim because it got disqualified sometime before Zrikat Dam, Mo'alim Ba, the din of Me'ilah is still going to be there because nothing ever happened to take it out of Kodshei Hashem. Okay, even though it's disqualified, right, it still is considered Kodshei Hashem. So now, they're going to give some examples. This was already, this was still from the Mishnah. Ezo hi shaita la shat heter lekohanim, shelana, that if it was left overnight, we're going to have to see what was left overnight. At this point, what do we assume is left overnight? The meat, because it has to be after Zrika, so it's not the blood. It would have to be the meat was left overnight after you sprinkled the blood. Or shenitmeh, the meat became tameh. Or sheyatzat, or the meat got taken out of the azara. And then that would be a case where it got disqualified. And yet, right, what happened already? It's not going to have a din of me'ilah because it already had a shat heter lekohanim. Ezo hishalo hayta la shat heter lekohanim, shenishcheta chutz lizmana. Okay, now we're at a much earlier stage. The shchita, at the time of shchita, you did it with the whoever did it had the wrong intent, the intent to either eat it or burn it outside the time frame or outside the location you were allowed to. Or, right, so this meat never had a shat heter. Or shekiblu psulim bezarku etama. Or kabbalah happened by someone who is pasul. Now, here becomes a little tricky, and we're going to see a lot of different options. And they sprinkled the blood. Now, who sprinkled the blood? The psulim also? In other words, it's one of those cases where it's a little bit misplaced. We don't know how to read the sentence. Psulim kibluha, and they sprinkled the blood? Or maybe someone kasher sprinkled the blood? Or maybe it means either psulim accepted the blood or psulim sprinkled the blood. We're not sure what that means, right? Because theoretically, from the way we understand the Mishnah, it could be either Zrika was done Shalom Kamosha Tzarich or the Kabbalah was done Shalom Kamosha Tzarich. So theoretically, the way we would read it would be either Kiblu up Psulim, the Kabbalah was done by Psulim, which again disqualifies the Korban before there's a Shat Heter, or Psulim sprinkled the blood, which also disqualifies the Korban. Okay, now, Amarle, so that's the mission. Amarle bar kapara le bar pada. Kapara says to Barpada, a bit of a strange line. He says, Ben Achoti, my nephew, Re'eh ma'ata shu'alani l'machar b'beit ha-midrash. Please ask me the following question tomorrow in the Beit Midrash. Some people explain that he was telling him this not only to plant a question, okay, because that sounds like it, right? He wanted this question to come up, so he told him, ask the following question. Some people explain that he was also trying to say, I want you to look into this, because we're going to talk about it tomorrow. That's what Tosfot says. He says, "Klomar lemachar shnenu niyasukim balacha tishaleni kedei lebarer hadavar v'ra'al ledabdek b'davar kedei shenisavani tein balamachar." He's saying this is going to be the topic of tomorrow's shir, so do your research today. So this is what he wants to ask him. Now he says, "Okay, so remember, how does the process work? There's shchita, then there's kabbalah. We shech the animal, then we accept the dam, then we do this rikat dam." So until now, we assume Shatei Ter LaKohanim was at the time of Zrika. But now, he's going to actually raise the following question. Heter Shchita Shaninu, O Heter Zrika Shaninu, O Heter Achila Shaninu. What really is the moment that we call Shatei Ter LaKohanim? Maybe, as long as the Shchita was kasher. Now, it's true you can't eat the meat yet. It's not really mutar, but it's the first stage of allowing it to be mutar to Kohanim. So maybe we want to say that if the shchita is kshera, maybe that's enough to call it shat heter lekohanim. Because theoretically, that's what matirs the meat to be allowed to be eaten down the road. Or shat heter zrika shaninu. Now, it's not what you think. It doesn't mean zrika. It means kabbalah. Why does it mean kabbalah? Because once you do a kabbalah kshera, that allows it, that matirs it to be sprinkled. If let's put it this way. If kabbalah was done, let's say shchita was done properly. Kabbalah was done improperly, well, then you're not allowed to sprinkle the blood. So, Zrika, theoretically, is what we call Kabbalah is Heter Zrika. It allows us to be able to go with the dam. So, the term Heter Zrika really means Kabbalah. Okay, so now, or do we mean, as soon as the dam was accepted, B'tzurah Kshera, that already means Shat Heter Lekohanim. Now, this is a little easier to say than the Shchita. Why would that be? We already learned that Kol HaOmed LiZarek. Some people say, kizaruk dami. If the blood is about to be sprinkled, meaning you accepted it in a kosher manner, so theoretically it now can be sprinkled, it's as if it was sprinkled. Well, it's as if it was sprinkled, well then it's as if it was allowed to become already the meat, even though it hasn't yet been. But theoretically, one could suggest that. But again, it's not, right? It's not the way we read the Mishnah, but he's raising a possibility. Oh, heter achila shaninu. Now, what is heter achila? Well, as soon as you sprinkle the blood, the meat is mutar ba'achila. So, basically what they're asking is it shchita, is it kabbalah, or is it zrika? Okay, and the terminology is shchita is shchita, heter zrika is kabbalah, and heter achila is zrika. Okay, so which is the stage? So we assumed until now it was heter achila, which means after you sprinkle the blood and it's actually mutar for them to eat. But theoretically, maybe it's some earlier stage. So we're going to have two answers to this question. It's interesting. They never really go back to Bar Kappara and Bar Pada here. Okay? But he says, this is the issue I want you to discuss, and now we bring two opinions. It could be he says this the next day in the Beit Midrash. Some people read it that way. But the next day, when Bar Pada asked the question, Bar Kappara answers. But it's unclear. Chizkiya amar heter shchita shaninu. Rabbi Yochanan amar heter achila shaninu. So this is a machloke. Chizkiya says it's actually the earliest stage. As soon as the shchit is done with kashrut, that already is called shat heter lekohanim, which would mean what? That there wouldn't end up being a din of me'ila, even if it gets apostled that, right? You wouldn't have me'ila anymore because we would say, oh, it was mutar to the kohanim, and therefore it's no longer kodesh Hashem, and therefore me'ila leaves it. But Rabbi Yochanan amar heter achila shaninu. No, it's actually what we thought originally when we read it, that it's all based on Zrikat Dam. So now comes Rabbi Zera, and he says, Lo amar Rabbi Zera, lo daika matnitin de lo kechizkeo de lo kechabi Yochanan. Our Mishnah doesn't match either opinion. Why? Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, okay, now in the case of, what is a case where there is Shat Heter Lekohanim, where it was allowed, it says, Shelana v'shenitmet v'sheyatzat. Now, right, it was left overnight, or it became impure, or it left the walls of Yazara. So now, what about the case of lan? Remember I said lan means, lan we assume it means the meat. But he's going to suggest, no, there's also a din of lan by the blood. If you leave the blood overnight, it becomes psulina. Remember, anything left overnight becomes disqualified. So he says, right, lav de lan dam, it sounds like you left the dam before sprinkling the blood. Which would mean what? It's in between the stage of Kabbalah and Zrika. Which would mean what? Bekatani, what does it say in the Mishnah? Ein Moalimbo. This would be Shat Heter LaKohanim. Which would mean that since it was allowed to Kohanim, it's no longer Kodesh Hashem, which means there's no longer Dinei Me'ilah. And Shema Minah, therefore, it's Heter Zrika Shaninu. That it would be this middle stage of Kabbalah Tadam. Okay? So that's how they read the Mishnah, and they say the Mishnah, in fact, then seems to contradict both of the opinions, because one said Shlita, one said Zriga, nobody said Kabbalah. So the way they answer it is the way we understood the Mishnah originally, which is Lo Dilan Basar Aval Dam Izdrik. It was that the Basar was left over, not the Dam. The Dam was already sprinkled. And that's why Mishum Hachi Katani Ein Mo'alim Bo, because then that supports, right, the way we read the Mishnah, supports the way we, right, the way we understood it until now, that the opinion is it's from Zrikatam that's going to create the Shata Ter L'Kohanim and not any stage previously. Now they bring another proof from our Mishnah for one of the opinions. Let's see. Tanan. Ve'ezu hi shelo haita la shat. It should be shat heter l'kohanim. Okay, what does it say in our Mishnah? Right now we were just talking about haita la shat heter. Now we're going to say what's a case that doesn't have shat heter, and we're going to go back to this. Zarku apsulim and kiblu apsulim and zarku et adam. So it says, Shenishchita chutz lizmana v'chutz limkoma. Okay, pigul. We're going to leave that aside for right now. V'shekiblu psulim v'zarku etama. The psulim accepted it, right? They collected the blood. They were pasul. They weren't allowed to. That disqualifies it. V'zarku etama. Now, it seems strange. Hechidami. Ilema dizarku psulim v'kiblu apsulim. How do you read this? That if you read it, psulim accepted the blood, and psulim sprinkled the blood. What's a pasul, for example? Someone who's tameh, someone who's not a kohen, right? The wrong person, right? It usually means the wrong person, right? Yisrael comes and does the accepting of the blood. That's not allowed. So let's say, right, assuming it means that the person who is pasul, both kablua, it doesn't even have to be the same person, but kiblu psulim and zarku psulim. Well, that's a little strange to say that. Lama liadi katarte. You don't need both. One would have been sufficient to mess it up, correct? As soon as kablu apsulim, it's already disqualified. It doesn't matter that also zarku apsulim. Elalav, so why would it say, it should have just said, right, what would have been the easiest way to say? Kiblu apsulim. Why did it have to say also vizarku etama? So the Gemara is going to assume that what does it mean? Elalav, di kablu apsulim, o zarku apsulim. You have to change the nusach here, okay? There's different girsas here. I'm going to go with this girsa that I'm going to read, which is, it should read, kablu apsulim or zraku apsulim. Okay, that it means either stage was done bipsul, either zrika or kabbalah. And what is this called?
It's anyhow, it's kabbalah before zrika.
Yeah. Yeah, no. No, it means either, let's read it out, either kiblu apsulim, but it was sprinkled by a kasher, or kiblua kshelim v'zarkua psulim. Now, if option number two is true, right, that that's going to be, if that's an option, that kiblua was kasher, and zarku psulim, what does that prove? Which shita? This is called, what did it say in the Mishnah? This is a case she'ein la shat heter l'kohanim. So what does it show? That both shchita kshera and kabbalah kshera doesn't mean shat heter l'kohanim. It must be zrikat hadam. Because if zirku a pasul would be zorek, that would be ein la shat heter l'kohanim. That means zrika is the main point. Okay, that's what they want to prove right now. So that's what they say. So this proves heter achila shaninu. Okay, so then, right, you have to change the gears again. So it says, Vikatani Moalimbo, and it says there's a din of Mi'ila because there's been no Shat Heter Lekonim. Shmamina Heter Achila Shaninu. Okay, you have to change Zrika to Achila in order to read the Gemara in this way. Okay, it's not like I'm changing it. There's those who say that. That's what the Girsa says. Matkifla Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now has a question, though. He says, Isla Kadatach Ika Lepluge Ha'achi. If you think that one could read this term, right, again, what's the wording? The wording is kiblu psulim v'zarku etama, means o kiblu apsulim, o zraku apsulim. We're going to have the same thing in another Mishnah, haditznan hatam, chatat psula, ein damata unkibus. Okay, this is a whole other halacha. What's the halacha? When it comes to a korban chatat, it says that if you get your clothes full of blood from a korban chatat while you're in the mikdash, you have to wash those clothes in the makom kadosh, okay, in the azara. Okay, the pasuk in Vayikra Vav pasuk kaf says, "Asher yizeh midama la beged, asher yizeh aleha." Okay, and as if you're sprinkling the blood on the beged, asher yizeh aleha, the one that got blood sprinkled on it, tichabes b'makom kadosh, clean it in a holy place. Okay, so what does that teach you? They learn from Asher Yazeh, okay, notice it says Asher yazeh midamal beged. Now, you don't have to use the word asher yazeh. Yazeh is a lashon of sprinkling the blood, the halacha of sprinkling the blood. Here we're talking about the blood splattered on your clothes. It could have said asher yutan, all right, asher yipol, falls on your beged. Why did it use the lashon of yazeh to teach you? We're only talking about damim that are ra'oy lahaza'ah, that can be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Okay, so now what do they say? So now they say, if it's a chatat psula, if the chatat can't go on the mizbeach, then the blood from a chatat psula gets on your clothes, you don't need kibbutz b'makom kadosh. Okay, you might want to wash your clothes anyway, but it doesn't have this din of kibbutz b'makom kadosh. So now the Mishnah there says, Bein shaita lashata kosher v'nifsala, u'bein shelo aita lashata kosher v'nifsala. Okay, whether or not, okay, it doesn't matter at what stage it was nifsal. Whether it was nifsal once it already had a shat kosher, was allowed to be eaten to the kohanim, or whether it never had a shat kosher and it was nifsal at an earlier stage. So now they say, okay, here, ours distinguished between shat heter and not shat heter. This one says it doesn't matter. Any kind of psul at any stage, it gets on your beged, you don't have to wash your clothing in makom kadosh. Ezohi, so now it continues and says, just like our Mishnah said, Ezohi shaitala shata kosher v'nifsala, shelana v'shenit met, o shiatza. Okay, so just like it said in ours, right? It was left overnight, or it was impure, or it had left the azara. Ve'ezohi shelo aitala shata kosher, shenishchita chutz l'mkoma, chutz l'zmana. Right, what would be a case where it doesn't have shata kosher? If you shechted it with a pigul intent, right, with the wrong intent to do the burning or the eating in the wrong time, or shekiblu apsulim v'zerku et dama, okay? Or the case that we said, right, that this is the exact same as our Mishnah. So now they're going to say in that case, what does it mean kiblu apsulim v'zerku et dama? Hechidami, what's the case? Ilem ad kiblu. So now, until now, what do we assume it means when we saw it in our Mishnah? Right? Either kiblu apsulim or zerku apsulim. So, if you want to say, like we said, again, you have to change the nusach here a little bit and add the word oh, dikiblu apsulin, o zerku psulin, okay, either it was accepted by psulin, or the blood was sprinkled by psulin, hu de'ein damata un kibus. So if it's trying to say, right, this is a case, shelo aitala shata kosher, so then, right, either one of those stages was done by a psul, you would infer what? What would be an inference that would come from here? That ha kiblua v'zarkua ksherim damata un kibus. Okay? That's a good reference, right? It's to say, if Kabbalah wasn't done right, or Zrika wasn't done right, that's a case where we're going to say it doesn't need kibus. But one can infer from here that what? The opposite case, right? If everything was done with kashrut, which would mean it's not a chata psula, right? This is defining chata psula. One of the examples of a chata psula is kiblu psulim, or, right, or zarku psulim. Now, let's keep going with this. If that's the case of something that's chatat doesn't need kibus, what would be a case of a chatat that would need kibus? Ah, the Kabbalah and the Zrika were done kimosh tzarich, right? That would be a good inference. Everybody agrees? That makes sense? Okay, what's the problem with that? Asher yazeh, what did the asher yazeh mean? If it's ra'oi for haza'ah, which seems to imply what? Only if it's before the stage of, right, okay, we didn't discuss this before, but we're going to learn that since it says asher yazeh midama, okay, I'll keep reading on, okay, so it would infer that what? Kiblua v'zarkua ksherim damata un kibus. Everyone agrees with that. Kare kam, but that's not true. It's not a correct inference. Why? It says in the pasuk, asher yazeh midama v'lo shekvar huzah. When does the blood from a chatat need kibus? Okay, number one, when it's not disqualified. But if it isn't disqualified, it's only before you sprinkle the blood. Once you sprinkle the blood, at that stage, if blood gets on your clothes, it doesn't need kibus anymore, because the pasuk says, asher yazeh midama de'darshan, asher yazeh, that will be sprinkled. It's only dam that's going to be sprinkled, not dam that was already sprinkled. So this implies what? If zarkua ksherim, right, if it was accepted by ksherim, and zarkua ksherim, it would mess up your clothes, right, you need kibus. That's not true. Only if kiblu b'ksherim, would you have to, and then it got sprinkled on your clothes, would you have to wash it? If you already did zarku, you clearly don't need to wash your clothes because the halacha is over by that point. There's an expiration date on this halacha. This halacha is from the time you start doing the shechita, before that there is no blood, right? From the time of shechita until zrika, but not after zrika. Once zarku aksherim, there's no din anymore. So this inference would be incorrect. So you can't say it's either kibbulah psulim or zarkua psulim because the psul of zrika is an irrelevant thing. Any kind of zrika already takes you out of the realm of chatan. So therefore, it can't be oo. Okay? And therefore, they reject that reading in this source. And now they're going to assume, well, if that's not the reading in this source, it must not be the reading in our source. And then we're back to square one of how do you read it. Ela lav dafka. Okay? It must be lav dafka and hachanami lav dafka. Okay? It must not mean, right, zarku psulim must be lav dafka, meaning really? What's the issue? Well, what's the issue here? It's clearly only in the case of the chatat psula, it's only kabbalah. Really, they could have just said kiblu psulim. They could have ended the sentence there. They just added the zarku et amah, but it doesn't really need to be added. Which is a little strange, right? Why would they bother giving us words that don't need to be added? But the Gemara is going to assume maybe we could say, they just didn't really need to say it, but they said it, okay? It doesn't really mean it. But now they're going to ask it, they're going to have an interesting question. Amar Rav Asi, imken, lama li limine tarte? Okay. What he's going to say is like this. I can understand in one Mishnah, maybe, that what they're now saying is in both Mishnayot, by the way, let's just take this back to our case. If it really means just kiblu up sulin, then what would we say? What's the critical moment for shat heter lekanim? Kabbalah, right? Because in kiblu up sulim, it doesn't have shat heter, but it sounds like if kiblu ak sherim, it would have shat heter lekanim. So what they're saying is, if we're going to read both Mishnayot as really kiblu up sulim, but the zarku et amah is just extra words, it doesn't make sense that two Mishnayot would have extra words. It's an interesting theory. One Mishnah, they say, okay, I can see they added those extra words, but why would they add it twice? I don't know why. Right, one could just say the Lashon, the language got borrowed from the other place, and once it said it there, it said it there. But he assumes, maybe he just wants to reject this answer because he doesn't think that Kabbalah is the moment, and because of that, he's trying to find a reason to reject it. But he says, right, why should I say it twice? If you look at Rashi, he says it, Deka'amar delav dafka, lama li limine bitrei dufte, in two places, matnit in delav dafka. Why would a mission in two places have words that really aren't important? Therefore, he understands it differently. Ela lo olam dime'ila dafka. Okay, what he really means to say is that what it means is that it really meant to say both words in our case, okay? The case of Me'ila was dafka. I think that's what he means here. That in other words, one of the cases, it was maybe unnecessary, but in this case, it was necessary to say both. And what's the reason? Really, it's kiblu apsulim, okay? That's true. But the words zarku et amah are needed to teach us something else, okay? So really, kiblu apsulim would already say there's no shat heter lekanim, which means, according to this, it's Kabbalah, right? Which we call Shat Zrika. But it's Kabbalah that's koveh of the Shat Heter. Because again, what did we say? So it's as if it was sprinkled already. And what's the wording coming to teach you Vizarku et amah? It's coming to teach you a different halacha. V'ha kamash malan dipsul oseh shiraim. Okay? In other words, really it's saying kiblu apsulim and zarku apsulim. And what's it coming to teach you? That if you do now you have to learn a halacha about shiraim. What are shiraim? When you slaughter the animal, you end up with blood. You sprinkle that blood on the mizbeach. Whatever you're left with that you don't sprinkle, okay, that's called the shiraim. Whatever's left over, if you remember, we learned a long time ago in Tzachin, what do we do with it? You pour it into the yesod of the mizbeach. There's these holes, depending on which korban, which hole exactly you put it in, there were these two holes. You pour it into the hole in the mizbeach. That's called shiraim. You can't use the shiraim for getting atonement. It's not used for that. Now, what causes something to be shiraim? Well, when you sprinkle the blood, that automatically makes whatever you didn't sprinkle turn into shiraim. You follow? Shiraim means leftovers. Leftovers are only leftover if you finish the first stage. So you do the first zrika, it turns the rest into shiraim. What if your zrika was a pasul zrika? Let's say a non-kohen does the zrika and it's not a good zrika. So what would you say? Maybe I could take the rest of the blood and have someone kosher come along and do the zrika. So here it comes to teach you, no. Zarku psulim messes things up. Pasul oseshirayim, even though it was a disqualified zrika, it still caused the other blood to become shirayim, which means you can't use the rest of this blood anymore and you can't get atonement from this korban. Okay? Af agav kibel pasul vizahak, v'kibel kasher vizahak, lav klumhi. It doesn't matter if Kabbalah was pasul and then he sprinkled the blood, like maybe a kasher sprinkled the blood, or it doesn't matter if a kasher person accepted the blood, but a pasul person was zorek the blood, it's lav klumhi. Okay, so what does that mean, right? This, all right, now we're back to our issue. Okay, what we're saying is even if kibel pasul and the pasul person zarak adam, or kibel kasher and a pasul person zarak adam, lav klumhu. Okay, meaning that what this is saying is not the Kabbalah is the moment, it's the zrika that's the moment, okay? But that zrika has no, is not effective for me'ila at all. In other words, number one, it does create that the rest of the blood is shirayim, and that's why it specifically said zarak, but it also is coming to teach you that when it comes to this issue of me'ila, all this is lav klum, my taima. Why is that? That even a kabbalah kshera and sprinkling the blood doesn't help lachshira takorban, dishirayim ninhu. In other words, these are considered shirayim, and they're not roi for zrika. Okay, so now, one second. I have to redo that last part. I got confused with two things. Okay, let's go back. So what it's saying is the chidush is pasul oseh shirayim. Okay, that means if someone pasul sprinkled the blood, there's the rest of the blood is shirayim, and therefore it's saying like this. Even if kibel pasul and zarak, let's say a no good person who's not allowed to do this, takes it, sprinkles it, at that point, then v'kibel kasher, and then a kasher person goes back to the animal, gets more blood coming out of the neck of the animal, okay, and he brings it to the mizbeach, that's lav klum. That doesn't work. Sorry, I forgot. I thought we were switching back to our case of me'ila. No. What it's saying is that whole word, the zarku et ama, is coming to teach you another thing about zrikat dam, that it causes shirayim and that nothing is good after that happens. Okay? So therefore, you can't use the shirayim. And why is that the shirayim, ninu? Because they're called shirayim. Okay? And therefore, one concludes from here that, again, it's all about Kabbalah. Okay? When it comes to the din of me'ila, though, right? That was the Zrika was coming to teach you about Shirayim. But the Kabbalah was coming to teach you Kiblu up Sulim, and that it's all about Shat Kabbalah. Okay, that's the key moment for creating this Shat Ater Lekohanim. Okay? So once, if it was done with Pasul, then we're going to say, oh, there was no Shat Ater Lekohanim. But if the Kabbalah was done with Kashrut, then there would be Shat Ater Lekohanim. So now they say, okay, so at this point, what are we assuming? That, okay, so now we say the Zrika Dam causes the rest to be called Shirayim, and we're going to ask the question on that, and then we're going to go back to our Me'ila issue. Right now we're on the Shirayim. V'habamine Rish Lakish me Rabbi Yochanan. But Rish Lakish asked the following question on Rabbi Yochanan. Pasul ma'u she'aseh Shirayim. Oh, exactly our case. If something's disqualified, right, the blood gets disqualified, does it cause the rest of it to be Shirayim? Now you would think, according to what we learned, yes, it does. But Amar Leh, what did Rabbi Yochanan answer him? Ein lecha davar she'aseh shirayim ela chutz lezmano v'chutz lemkomo. Ho'il u'miratzin lepigulan. The only sprinkling of blood, and it sounds like the only, which would exclude our case, the only time where sprinkling of blood causes something to be shirayim would only be in a case, okay, let's just look at it very simply. Why would zrikat dam cause shirayim? If it's an effective zrikat dam, right? Because if it's not effective, then theoretically, let's say I come into the Beit HaMikdash and I pour the blood. I can't do that. I'm a female. I'm not a Kohen. Can't do that. If I were to do it, what would happen? Theoretically, it's like I did nothing. So theoretically, the blood shouldn't be Shirayim. The only time, comes Rabbi Yochanan and said, again, this goes against what we just said a minute ago. The only time it works to create the rest of the blood is going to be called leftovers is if my zrika has significance to it. When does my zrika have significance? This goes back to halacha we've seen a few times in the first two dafim of the Masechet. In a case of pigul. Remember what we said with pigul? What did we say? I shech my animal with the machshava. The kohen shechs the animal, or anyone shechs the animal with a machshava, with an intent that they're going to sprinkle the blood or burn it in the wrong time. That's called pigul. However, if I eat the meat from that, if there was never zrikat dam, what did we say? I don't get karet for it. Because it's a lo yiratzeh, in order for me to get karet, it has to have ritzoy, what did we say? Ritzoy, some sort of ritzoy like the ritzoy of a regular korban, which means the blood has to be sprinkled. Now, it's a very strange case because I'm really theoretically not allowed to sprinkle the blood at this point. But if I sprinkle it, then I create the karet of pigul if I'm going to eat the meat later on. Okay, if I ate the meat without that ritzoy, without sprinkling the blood, I'm not going to get karet. So what do you see here? The zrika of pigul has significance, right? It's considered a zrika that affects something. Right? It doesn't affect atonement. It affects that your korban, so to speak, went through the process, which means that you're now going to get karet for eating that meat. So that's a case where we're going to say the shechita, right? The zrika created shirayim, and the blood is left over. But nothing else, okay? So now, what do you mean? My lav bar mi pasul. So wouldn't this exclude the case of if a disqualified person sprinkled the blood of a regular korban that was shechted properly? That would seem to be not going to do shirayim, because this says, right? Ein lecha davar she'aseh shirayim ela chutz hazmano. It's pretty clear. This is the only case. And in a zrika case where the zrika was done totally improperly, a pasul person came, and there was no significance at all to a zrika of a pasul person, it wouldn't actually create a shirayim situation. So, right, that's what they say. V'halav bar mi psul. So they say, lo, afilu pasul. No, it means, number one, pigul, and if a pasul sprinkled the blood. So they ask the obvious question. V'ha'en l'cha katane. But didn't it just say nothing other than this? So how could you say nothing other than this and something else? Right? They're basically reinterpreting it and saying, well, it meant nothing other than the zrika of pigul and the zrika of someone who is disqualified. So say, how could you possibly say that? It said, ein l'cha davar ella this. That seems pretty clear. So what do they answer? Hachi katane. Ein l'cha davar she'eino meratze b'tzibur v'oseh shirayim. Ella chutz lezmano v'chutz l'mkomo. Aval tameh di'ite b'tzibur mishave shirayim. Shar psulin de'lo enam b'tzibur lo mashvin shirayim. The first thing they're going to do is say that, by the way, a psul here is not like what I said, a female coming in or a non-kohen person coming in. What they really mean by psul, if you remember I gave a few cases, it's an impure person, okay? A kohen who is tameh. So they're now going to assume that what they were talking about, right, if we say psul oseh shirayim, we mean a tummy kohen. Okay? Now, what's different? What they're basically going to say is the subject of ein lecha davar she'aseh shirayim ela chutz lezmano v'chutz l'mkomo was talking about within a certain framework. And the case of a tummy person who does this rikatam is in a different category, and it just wasn't relating to that category. Why is it in a different category? Because we go back to this many, many times. Tummy ite b'tzibur. What does that mean? There's a time where kohanim tzmeim can do a korban. When is that? Pesach. When the majority, not even Pesach, tuma hutcha b'tzibur. What does that mean? If the majority of the tzibur, that's when it comes up on Pesach. If the majority of the tzibur is tameh, you can still bring the korban Pesach. If the majority of kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash are tameim, and we don't have, we only have a minority of kohanim, we're allowed to kohanim tameim to do the avoda. So therefore, what we were talking about, let's read it now from the beginning. Hachi kama, this is what it meant to say. Ein lecha davar she'eino meratze b'tzibur v'oseh shirayim. There's nothing that the only one that creates shirayim in a case where it wouldn't work b'tzibur. It has to be a psul that's not allowed b'tzibur. In other words, let's say a zar or something like that would never create a shirayim situation if he sprinkled the blood. The only time it would, or something wouldn't be allowed but tzibur, that we're going to say creates shirayim, the pigul, chutz lezmano v'chutz lemkomo. Aval tamei, but a tamei di'ite b'tzibur, since his sprinkling would have been affected, even though it's not in this case, where the tzibur was all tamei'im, but since there's theoretically he could do his zrika when he's tamei, if most of the kohanim were tamei'im, then his zrika, even when majority of the people are not tamei'im, mishave shiraim. Okay, but sharp psulim, but all the other psulim delo eaten in tzibur, which aren't effective in a tzibur situation, lo mishavin shirayim. Okay, and there you have it. So that's why we could say, again, what was this all to say? Really, our mission was talking about Kabbalah, kiblu up psulim, and that was to teach you that the moment that's important is Kabbalah, for shakater lekonim. In which case, what was the point of Zrikat Adam, Zarku et Amah, to teach you that a psulin Zarku et Amah, and now we mean, what kind of psulin were we talking about? A Tamei Kohen, and not anything else. But if a Tamei Kohen were to sprinkle the blood, the Mishnah is telling us, that is going to affect Shirayim. That's enough of an effective Zrika to make Shirayim, and that's because Tumah HaDrubet Tzibur. And another case that would also be the same would be a Pigul Zrika. Okay. Tashma. Now they're going to go to another source that we mentioned earlier. Hapigu la'olam. Okay, so the conclusion, by the way, of this section is Kabbalah. Right? Kabbalah is what creates Shatater. Tashma. Hapigu la'olam mo'alimbo. Okay, this came up a few dapim ago. Okay, which means that once it's pigul, okay, which sounds like from the time, right, pigul could be affected at the time of shchita. It could also be you accepted the blood with the wrong machshava. La'olam mo'alimbo. Now, what does that mean? It means that there's going to be a din of me'ila. You've messed up the korban. There's no way to fix the korban at this point, right? And therefore, there's not going to be a shat hater l'kohanim and mo'alim bo. So first, the Gemara is going to assume lav delo zarak ushma mina heter zrika shaninu. Doesn't it sound like pigul l'olam mo'alim bo is in the case where you didn't do zrikat dam? In which case, one can infer what? That it's heter zrika shaninu, that is, as long as you didn't do the, this is basically saying, there's giving you two options where it's not going to leave me'ila. Number one, it was shechted in a pigul manner, or number two, it was shechted the way it was supposed to, but the blood was accepted with a pigul machshava. Okay? And they're assuming right now, you haven't yet sprinkled the blood. So now, what does it sound like? It sounds like, what about the opposite case? If Shechita and Kabbalah were done b'kashrut, what did this say? It said, apigul la'olam mo'alim bo. They assume that means either you did pigul b'shat Shechita or you did pigul b'shat Kabbalah and you haven't yet done Zrika, which would mean that if you did the Shechita properly and you did the Zrika properly, then what would we say again? It would be yotzei midin mi'ila because you would call that shat heter l'kohanim. So again, it sounds like the middle stage, as soon as Kabbalah is done properly, you can already say that shat heter l'kohanim and me'ila leaves. Follow, they're using it from the opposite. It says, la'olam mo'alim bo pigul. Again, it doesn't specify what they mean. The Gemara's understanding right now, and they're going to reject that understanding, they're saying right now that when it says pigul la'olam mo'alim bo means either the shechita or the kabbalah were done with the pigul machshava and you haven't yet sprinkled the blood, which means me'ila is going to still stay. But if they were both done in a kosher way, everything was done great, then me'ila would leave. At what moment? Oh, at the later moment at kabbalah. Okay? So, and then that would seem to prove, right, again, this issue of kabbalah. Okay, that's the moment, which is right. Shma mina heter zrika shanin. Remember, we said zrika means kabbalah, right? It means you're allowed to now be zorek the dam. So they say lo zarka. No, it really means pigul la'olam mo'alim bo means it's pigul. It's actually a better reading of la'olam mo'alim bo. It means it's never gonna leave me'ila if what? If you had a pigul machshava and you were zorek the dam, right? At Zrika, it's not going to leave. In which case, Zrika is the critical element, and not which we call Heter Achila, not Kabbalah. So then they say, Umay La'olam. So what does La'olam mean according to this? It sounds like it's a question, as if, what does La'olam mean then? But most of the Mepharshim say it can't be a question because La'olam works a lot better. It's really just clarifying. So how do you read this? Hakamashman Kidrav Gidol Amarav. Ah, we go back full circle to what Gidol Amarav said, which is that this source is telling us, what did he say? Zrikat pigul eino motzi midei mi'ila ve'eino mevi lidei mi'ila. Remember what his whole thing was? His whole thing was, if you messed up the korban and you had a pigul machshava, and then you did the zrikat dam, right? So what did he say? That even though the zrikat dam has some significance, remember what did we say? That zrikat dam creates the chalur of pigul. But it doesn't mean zrikat dam the way normally in a good korban. What will zrikat dam do? Again, it will remove the kodshe Hashem from a kodshe kodshim and tell us that we have no more din of me'ila. And when it comes to kodshim kalim, it will bring on the din of me'ila for the imurim, the parts that we burn in the mizbeach. So what did Rav Gidol Amar Rav? He said the zrika of a pigul korban doesn't do any of that. It's no motzi midei me'ila, eveino mevili de me'ila. Since it's messed up already, it doesn't have any effect on anything. And that's how he reads this braita. Hapigul la'olam mo'alim bo, that means, now it makes a lot more sense, the word la'olam, it means pigul, once it's pigul, you'll never get rid of me'ila on that korban. La'olam mo'alim bo, forever, one will that will always have a din of me'ila because the zrika does not affect anything. Okay, it's just important to note that what Rav Gidol Amar Rav said disagrees with, right, it's all about the zrika is the moment that's important and not the earlier moment. Okay, so we see different opinions about this, and it's going to continue tomorrow about trying to bring sources. Today we saw some sources that supported Kabbalah is the moment. Tomorrow we're going to see sources that say that it's the zrika that's the moment, like we understood until now. Okay. Bye.